final Friday of Tennessee's high school football regular season. So who better to bring on than Chattanooga Times Free Press sports editor Stephen Hargis, who always is on top of things. And when I say on top of things, just 2 minutes ago, he tweets out the fact that Howard has been battling a COVID spike, and so the Howard East Hamilton game is now off the table today. East Hamilton will get the forfeit win, which means they finish second in Region 2-4A, and Howard is third. Stephen, welcome aboard. We were talking just last hour. This was a game that you would have figured a month ago. You're like, oh, that's a forfeit anyway. But Howard had been playing really, really well, and East Hamilton had hit a couple of potholes.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be, I guess it wouldn't be the 2020 season if we didn't have the last week of the regular season, if you didn't have one of these top issues. But Howard had kind of corrected themselves. You know, they 9 sophomore starters early in the season were struggling. They'd won 4 games in a row, and East Hamilton had stubbed their toe and lost their last 2. So all of a sudden that game was, you know, was potentially closer than what we'd thought a few weeks ago, and Howard would have had a chance to win that one and host a playoff game. But now they'll go on the road next week and as the third seed, and East Hamilton gets the 2 seed and will host Sullivan South next week.
You mentioned it wouldn't be 2020, but we have made it. We have made it to the end of the regular season. Just your surprise level when you kind of think of how you may have felt in June and July.
Was probably more surprised that we actually got the season started. I mean, they're there for a while, you know, at that point it was pretty touch and go as far as whether we would actually get the season started, because there were a lot more question marks. Once they got it rolling, and after having spoke with Bernard Childress from the team was to play, you know, they were pretty set on, you know, when the season starts, no matter how many games get canceled or postponed or, you know, have to move around or whatever, they were going to play the season unless something happened where the governor came back and there was this huge spike across the state where the governor said, you know, we're gonna have to shut everything down. Otherwise, Tidwell-Sablay was set that they were going to have the season. You know, we knew we were going to lose some games here and there, which we did. But, you know, I felt like once we actually made it to the kickoff of the season, we were going to be okay as far as playing the games, unless we had some, you know, unfortunate spike in the numbers.
Stephen, when you think, and I mentioned this last hour, even though I've written my share of Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee articles, one of my favorite articles that I've been able to write was the fact that, you know, McCauley's went over Baylor, CCS's went over Boyd. High school football helped Finley Stadium turn a profit. And, you know, because this summer I was writing about how Finley Stadium was hemorrhaging more than $40,000 a month. So you had some feel-good stories like that, but of course you're from the South Pittsburgh area, and of course the Pirates losing those gates against Marion and Red Bank, I mean, that would be the downside of it. That, I mean, when you think about the financial ramifications.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are going to be some teams that are going to be hurting next year. They'll start, you know, with pretty much zero or negative in the funds for playing this season, you know, because – you're still going to have to send off your equipment to get reconditioned. You know, you're going to have, you know, uniforms and things like that that you have to get. I mean, just all the I mean, people forget little things like, you know, to paint fields. You know, if some schools like Cleveland, Ray County have turf fields, but for everybody else, it's a few hundred dollars every, you know, Wednesday or Thursday when the coaches go out there and paint their fields. So that's, you know, there's a lot of expenses. You think about the pregame, postgame meals, the bus trips. When they have to charter a bus, I mean, there's lots of expenses for our local schools, and when they didn't have as many home games, you know, you mentioned South Pitt, they wound up only having 2 home games this year. They lost 3, you know, the big gates with Red Bank and Marion, and what would have been tonight with Copper Basin coming in for the region championship. You know, they've lost probably well over $50,000 this year out of their account that you know they won't be able to make up.
Very thorough story in today's TFP, talking about all the situations and where we stand with this last Friday night. I loved how you mentioned Ray County being 9-0 and just how quiet that's been. If I had to ask just on the field, what you think, what school has produced the biggest story?
That's a great question. I hadn't thought about that, David. Just in terms of their season?
Yes.
That they've had this year, not really sure. I can just pick out just one. You know, I mean, the downside would be McCauley's injuries, a team that we thought had a really good chance to make another run at a state championship, and they've been just, you know, the injury bug has really hit them. You know, Ray County being I would probably throw out Bledsoe County as I'm kind of going through the catalog of teams and what they've done so far this year. Bledsoe County, if they win tonight, which they would be heavily favored in their game, if they win tonight, it's the first 10-0 season in program history. So, you know, that right there, they've had some really good teams before. They've had some 8 and 9 win teams, but to go undefeated for them, that's you know, the fact that they got in 10 games and they're going to win them all, most likely, that's a huge deal for, you know, an area over there in the Squatchy Valley that loves football.
You mentioned McCauley real quick. How many of those injuries are season ending? Or do they get some of these guys back and they make another good playoff run?
I mean, depending on, yeah, because I think they'll get a week in between the regular season and the playoffs starting. So, you know, they could foreseeably get a couple of those guys back at least. The big one, that if they can get Eric Rivers, the receiver, if they can get him back, you know, Jay can talk about just what a huge plus that would be for them. I mean, that kid is really special. He was a guy that, you know, I think 2 years ago thought his future was in basketball, and then when he came out, you know, midway through last season or two or three games into the season, I think he found out real quick that he's going to get much better offers in football, because he could be a special talent in football, and not having him has really hurt them.
You're listening to Stephen Hargis, sports editor of the Chattanooga Times Free Press, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
I know, and you said something that struck me is very apropos. It wouldn't be 2020 if. I can't help but think 20 years after winning the state championship in that magical season, even before I got here, the fact that Red Bank has had that many cancellations and stands a win away from a region championship may be as big a 2020 conversation as you could possibly put together.
Yeah, that's a good one, Jay. I mean, that, you know, Red Bank, until last night, when Brainerd had 7 starters out against McMinn Central, and McMinn Central knocks them off. If that doesn't happen, then Red Bank was staring down the likelihood that they could go undefeated on the field, you know, have the 3
right.
COVID losses, but not have lost a game on the field, and wind up 3rd in their region and have to travel in the first, you know, throughout the playoffs. They would not have had another home game. And it goes from that to all of a sudden when Brainerd loses, now if Red Bank wins tonight, they win the region and they would host the playoffs. So that, you know, what a huge turnaround just the implications from that game last night had on Red Bank. And now, you know, you could feel just kind of an adrenaline shot. I spoke to Chris Brown last night, you know, just about what that meant for them. And it was already starting to run through the Red Bank team, the players, you know, that they had found out, and, you know, kind of this new energy that now all of a sudden, instead of, you know, a share of the region title, but you're going to go on the road anyway, now all of a sudden you can win it outright and host the playoffs. That's a huge thing for Red Bank. And you add on top of that, you know, when I spoke to Chris last night, he said for the first time since the second game of the regular season, when they go into the game tonight, they are completely, fully healthy. They got everybody that's been banged up and injured and missed games are finally all back, so they're 100% healthy. Just the right time.
Well, it's a different team with the quarterback on the field. It's a completely different football team.
Yeah, totally agree. And they've got a couple of linemen up front on the defensive side who have not played, you know, or been kind of limited with some injuries and, you know, playing with a cast on the hand, that type of thing. But they are now, casts are gone. You know, these guys are completely free to go out there and wreak havoc. Like they, you know, the first couple of weeks they had 2 defensive linemen that were leading our area by a lot, sacks and tackles for loss.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they get banged up and you don't hear from them again. You kind of forget about them. And now those guys are going to be back out there.
And everybody's excited. The last Friday night, David's opened the show talking about kudos to everybody who made it all happen and figured out ways to work through unimaginable circumstances. Just because it's that time of year, what do you hear and how confident are we we're going to have basketball?
You know, the one that I really worry about would be wrestling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They seem pretty set that we're going to have basketball season. It may be an issue where you have, like, at most 200 people in the state. You know, they're going to really limit the number of people that are inside a gymnasium for basketball. And I'll find out more on that, guys. We have a Mr. Football Committee meeting Monday at Tidwell School headquarters. That's one of the things I was going to talk with them about is, okay, we're about 3 weeks away from, you know, basketball season potentially starting. What are the limitations? I know ahead of time that they're going to limit the crowd sizes. That's for sure coming, and it's going to be much more than football because it's an indoor sport. But the one that I've really wondered about is wrestling because just the nature of the sport. You know, if that's something they're looking at, maybe potentially having to move back into the spring or what. You know, I have not heard them say that they're going to do that. So it looks like right now that the wrestling season is moving forward, but I think that's pretty tentative.
Stephen, before we let you go, last Friday night you were at a high school football game that had a 64-8 halftime score in which the team with eight was actually up 8-7 in the first quarter. I couldn't imagine you've experienced too many of those.
never seen that before. That was about five blocks from my house. Is you know, I still live in South Pittsburgh, so as I do the roundups every week of games we don't cover, I thought, okay, I'll go watch the first half of that one, come back, you know, and start working. It was 8-7, and then all of a sudden, South Pitt scored seven times in the second quarter, and it grew to be 64-8 at halftime. And that, you know, they've had some pretty big mercy rule wins before, but that one, I've never seen any team score seven times in one quarter.
How many of those were defensive?
I don't think any. I don't think they had any defensive touchdowns. I think they had maybe one sack that where they got the ball back around the goal line, but or block punt. I'd have to go back.
Okay.
And they all kind of run together. Most of them were a handoff and you know, the kids gone.
So like one or two play drives.
Yeah, a lot of one or two play drives, and that's, you know, we talked about Red Bank. You know, South Pitt's got a kid who, DeAndre Kelly, who a lot of people around the program have compared him. He's the most likely comparison to an Eddie Moore that they've had since Eddie Moore graduated. You know, about 6'1", 190, and he got hurt in the second game of the season and has been out, and he was going to return this week, so he'll be back. He'll make basically his season debut next week.
He didn't play in the 84-point game?
He did not play in the he's not played since the second week of the season. So another kid that they had, you know, that's a senior, has kind of taken over for DeAndre and had has run for 1,200 yards in seven games. So that kind of tells you the depth they've got as far as running backs go. Now they're going to be fully healthy going into the playoffs.
Well, Stephen, thanks for all that you do. Love just picking up a Friday morning TFP and reading all about the high school. And, of course, this time next week we'll be reading all about your playoff matchup. So thanks for all that you do. We always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
You bet, guys. And just one quick tip, we'll have the brackets will get released by the Tidwell display tomorrow, so we'll have those online at TFP as they're being released.
Fantastic. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Hargis always does a great job for the Times Free Press. 648-1051. We'll revisit the Painter Ready poll question. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.